Praise the Lord. Let's all stand if you will. Bow our heads before Him. Precious Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege, Lord, to be back again this night. Lord, You've given us a beautiful day of rest. Lord, we appreciate it so very much. Now, Lord, we come back and we sing a few songs. Lord, we're so thankful back to You for all You've done for us. Lord, to hear Thy precious word once more, Lord, it's such a joy in our life. Lord, it's such a joy knowing Jesus. We just appreciate You with all our hearts. We ask You to have Your way in everything that's said and done. Let it all be done and said for the upbuilding of Your glory, Thy honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. We sing a little chorus, He is here. Amen. He is here. He is here. Hallelujah, He is here, amen, He is here, holy, holy, I will bless His name again, He is here, listen close. Hear Him calling out Your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. He is here. Presence. I'd like to turn to page 176. I only believe precious little chorus our brother mentioned this morning. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Amen. Can we turn that up a little bit? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine.
now burst on my side. Angels descending, ring from above. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. All is at rest. I in my Savior and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song. Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Amen. Beautiful words, perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior and happy and blessed. Amen. You feel that way? Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. What beautiful words there. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 25 in the same book.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
This time, would you come and take the altar? Amen. Brother.
Heavenly Father, Lord, truly, may we surrender all we are to you. Lord, as we gathered in the building tonight, knowing that you're here with us and amongst us, feeling your precious presence, Lord, you promised that your word said you'd be here.
Yes.
Oh, Father, may truly each and every one of us surrender and set our hearts, Lord, to surrender all we are to your word. Lord Jesus, may we, Lord, take up our cross and follow you.
Amen.
We love you so much. Father, we ask that you would bless this part of the service. Lord, you may multiply it to meet the needs, Father. You may always be a lighthouse for this area. Father, that someone can have a refuge to go to.
Amen.
Lord, we may have a place to gather and hear you speak to us. We love you so much and ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Faith in God will move a mighty mountain. Faith in God will move a mighty mountain. Faith. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a privilege. As we say so many times, Lord, but you're our life. Lord, it's such a privilege to bring all the needs before you this night. Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one that dwells within each heart, that loves him and serves him. Lord, we appreciate you with all our hearts this night. Lord, we look up to you, Lord. Lord, as you're looking down on your people this night, Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one that has a need upon our hearts or in their lives. Lord, you know all about it. Lord, we don't know ourselves, but Lord, we just hold each other up in prayer before you, knowing you can take care of all situations, knowing you can comfort, you can keep. Lord, we ask a special prayer this night, Lord, for Brother Bobby down there in the VA. Lord, I was thinking about him. Lord, what a tough time that has to be for him, Lord. But I ask you, Lord, to just lay your hand upon him. Let him know you're with him. Let him know all the people here just love and appreciate him with all our hearts. Wish he could be with us. Wish we could see him. Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, just take care of him in a mighty way. Comfort him. Lord, and Sister Marilyn, Brother Loeffler, Sister and Brother DeLong, Lord, they're special to us, Lord. Sister Gina and all the ones that has to take care of them. Lord, we just ask you to bless them in a mighty way this night, Lord. We might not know the burden ourselves, Lord, but you know what they're going through. Lord, you know what they need. We don't, Lord, but we keep them, hold them up before you in prayer, Lord, each and every day, Lord, asking you to make the burden just a little lighter. Lord, we just ask you to take full preeminence, Lord, the remainder of this service now, Lord, as the word comes forth, Lord, it's more important than anything else in this life, in this world today. Lord, that's why we have gathered here, Lord, anxious to hear thy word. Lord, like them little birds, Lord, that wait on their mom to come back with that food, Lord, let us be hungering for you this night. Lord, let us give all our hearts and all our attention to you now, asking you to dip it into our hearts, revelation of thy precious word. Lord, just have your way now in the manner of service each heart. Lord, we give all the glory and praise unto you. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll go ahead and ask our pastor to come and deliver what the Lord's laying on his heart. And we sing that little chorus. Amen. Only believe. Only believe.
Only believe. Only believe.
Amen.
Bow our heads again. Precious Heavenly Father, again we want to tell you thank you again for this grand opportunity, Lord, to be here and to be gathered in here again with your precious people. What a true blessing it is. And Father, as we go back into the Word of God this evening, I'm asking, Lord, that you'd again open up our understanding to it, that, Lord, we could see this reality of, Lord, the true believer, the make-believer, the unbeliever. But Lord, may we by grace and through faith, Lord, be able to see we're that true believer. And Lord, as we measure ourselves up by the Word of God, not by our ideas and what we think or what we feel, and through a carnal, sensual way of feeling, but Lord, only through revelation. So we ask now that you would bless us and help us to be a people to receive this evening. As we commit ourselves unto you for service, may thy will be done. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his wonderful name. As we're still standing, let's just go ahead and, in honor to God's word, just read again. Go back to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. I'd like to just refresh our minds to this before we move on to this evening. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. And we'll just read the 10th and 11th verse, then we'll have you sit down. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And may the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. And I don't think I'll have the board put up tonight because pretty well remember what's on that. You'll know as I reference back to it what we're pointing to or what we're aiming for. But again, reading this scripture, just as I said, let's go ahead and read now the 12th verse down to the 16th. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. I love that. But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. That's glorious. That we might know the things. Know things, you see, that are freely given to us of God. Remember, it's the true believer that's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, you see. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, I'd like to just refresh your minds again to that having the mind of Christ. And if you go through it, it's one who has perceived divine things, have a capacity for spiritual truth, a particular mode of thinking and judging thoughts and feelings, purposes, and desires. So just keep that in mind again this evening, because you'll remember what I said this morning on it in talking about that. And you'll see those that are spirit-filled and spirit-led, they have this something about it. They know how to righteously put things together. The circumstances in life, the trials, the tests that come up, they know how to stand on it and not fall for it, not fall for the enemy's tricks and the tactics and the foolishness that the enemy wants you to fall into. They have this understanding. They have this revelation. They have the mind of Christ. They are constantly thinking, what would God want done in this situation? As the test comes and approaches them, the man automatically is just coming to him. Lord, what would be thy will for this today? Just as Jesus stood there. Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. See? It's that same thing in the bride of Jesus Christ. We'll see. Remember what we read in the church age book, when it reminds back to it, how that little bride would be conformed to that same thing. And she would not do anything outside of thus saith the Lord. She would be that woman or that bride that's led by the Spirit of God. See, all through that, he was talking to and about that true believer. You see? So let's go on here now. Let me read here in this little message, "The World is Falling Apart," just a small quote here to put this in place here with it. He says, this was November 15, 1963, "Spirits don't die." You remember Brother Bram saying that. He said, "Just the man that's occupied." Okay? It's just the man that's occupied. The spirit is in that man or men, whichever way it goes. But the spirits never die. Okay? He said, "The devil doesn't take his spirit." No. He only takes the man. Okay? And the good thing about it, God doesn't take his spirit neither. See? It remains. See, it's just the man that's taken. All right? The man's taken, another man comes in. Same spirit, though, works through that next man as it worked through the other one. Okay? He said, "The same spirit that was upon Christ," get your spiritual ears open, "the same spirit that was upon Christ is upon the believer today." And then he puts in there, the true believer. Okay, not just the believer, not just that, but it's upon the true believer. The same spirit was upon Christ. Now just think of that. And Apostle Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. You see, he was explaining and trying to show us that we too would have the same capacity of discerning things and being able to judge righteous judgment concerning feelings, desires, and purposes, these different things in life. As I said, you've run onto people, I'm sure you have, down through the years, especially maybe some of the older ones, and it just seemed like they just cannot make a righteous judgment for nothing. I mean, if they would should have never went to a ball game, they'd go anyhow and think it's all right. And then the message comes forth, the Word of God comes forth and shows what kind of desire was there that shouldn't have been there, shouldn't have started that to start with. And, I shouldn't have done that. But give them 5 months, they do it again. You know? Just do not have the thing it takes, Christ in them, to make a righteous judgment towards desires, purposes in life. Maybe someone coming up to them and starts a fuss with them. They don't have the righteous judgment to stand there and return good for evil and give forth kind words that's supposed to turn away wrath, which it does. They don't have that. So they rise up and they begin to say their little piece and begin to say how they want to come back at the person and express themselves, you know. I'm just as bad as you are. I'm just as tough as you are. I can hold my ground, you know. They don't have the capacity, the spiritual capacity, to be able to handle situations like that. I'm sure you've seen it. Absolutely have, you see. So Apostle Paul's letting us know here, the true believer, and the prophet's letting us see, the true believer has this capacity to be able to handle. Let's make it real simple. The trials of life. Yeah. The unbeliever, make-believer, does not have the capacity, does not have the spiritual discernment to be able to handle those things. So they constantly fail, And, of course, in the message, how to overcome, we find out those people don't overcome. Those people can't handle it. But we're supposed to be a people that's moving into or have moved into that position that we can handle the test, the trials, the fiery test and trials that is to try us. To the believer, it's more precious than gold because they understand, they have the spiritual capacity and discernment to know that it's the trying of their faith. Yeah. And then letting them see, this is where I'm standing. This is what I've overcome. You see? See, because they have that same spirit in them that was in Christ. They too can have the same mind of Christ. Is it making sense? It better make sense. Yeah. Because this is what's going to have to be before you're in a rapture. Okay? So let's go on. How can I overcome? Let's read this again. We read this morning, but I want to refresh your mind to it. I'll just read part of it. Romans 8:1, we are all baptized into one body. This is kind of at the end where we was beginning to close out. Another quote after this. He says here, we are all baptized into one body in the domain of that kingdom. One spiritual baptism. No matter how good, how bad, whatever you're in that kingdom, you're in that kingdom by the Holy Ghost baptism. That's the only way you overcome. It's all that is under the shed blood is overcomers. Because you cannot overcome yourself. It's He that overcome for you. And you're resting. How will I know then? I will come back to that resting here after a bit. Lord willing, if I get time. He says, how will I know then, Brother Branham, that I'm in there? How are we going to know we're a genuine believer, a true believer? How, you mean God has a way of letting us know? Absolutely. It's not a thing we come here tonight and they're listening to these things or maybe through us during this little series I've been bringing forth. And we're going to try to figure out if we are one. The thing is, as you hear these things, you'll be able to recognize you have fell in that position of that true believer. If you're not a true believer, or maybe you're just not born again, then you'll find if you're not that true believer, which the Word plainly tells whether we are or not. It's not a thing, am I? I wonder if I am. I'm trying to figure out if I am. No such thing as that. The Word of God is so plain, so sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes right into the marrow of the bone, so there's no iffies about it. You know whether you're a believer or you know whether you're not a believer. You know whether you're born again or you need to be born again. You know whether you got the Holy Ghost or you don't have the Holy Ghost. The only dangerous thing going on today is if Satan has deceived you to get you to believe that you're a Christian when you're not, you see. Now, there's the position you stand in that's really shaky, you see. When you think, and I've seen that happen, friends, through my ministry. I've seen it happen to people. I've seen them really believe they're Christians. I've seen them really believe they've got the token. And every sign going forth, every evidence coming forth proves they have not got the token. Not judging no one. The Word of God said they did not have it. You see? And that's what people don't understand today. And that's what the unbeliever and make-believer is never going to understand. They'll never get it. Only the true believer is going to get that, friends. Only the true believer is going to be able to understand what the Holy Ghost is. Whether they really have it, and whether it's being vindicated, and it's being backed up, and everybody passing by is able to look at them and see they've got it. You see? Those that's deceived thinks everybody is looking at them and thinking they got it. But those that are filled with the Holy Ghost, a true believer, can look at that and see whether it is or not. Regardless of what that mouth is saying off of that human body, it don't make no difference. It can make all kinds of claims. That's what the prophet was showing us through many messages. See, that body can be making all kinds of claims with a voice going out. That don't make no difference whatsoever. It's the life coming forth is what shows whether you got it or not. Just as simple as it can be, you see. It's nothing hard to figure out, not to a true believer. Now remember, the make-believer and unbeliever, they've got to try to figure things out because it's not revelation to them. It's not real, you see. And then what you do, what happens when a true believer stands in that position, what will happen sometimes? The make-believer, the unbeliever comes along and says, that person thinks he's something or she's something. They think they're the only bride there is on the earth. Showing they're an unbeliever or make-believer. Because they don't understand. You see? Now as we go into this further, saints, you'll see again, this removes all the doubt. I mean all of it. You'll know where you're standing at. I trust that every one of us will be able to find that we're in that position of being that true believer. But if you happen to find yourself you're not that true believer, then you better be crying out to God. Your job better not be more important. Your children better not be more important. Your wife better not be. Your husband better not be. Mother or dad better not be. Your home better not be. Your automobiles better not be. No food better not be. No clothing better not be. And definitely not no phone better not be. You see? What will man give in exchange for his soul? Clothing, a phone, a mother, a dad, a wife, a husband, a home, an automobile. Huh? What will you give for exchange for a soul? There's going to be a lot of exchanging done in this hour. People's going to exchange a lot of material things for their soul. You see? He says here, well, he says, how will I know then, Brother Branham, that I'm in there? Watch what kind of a life you're living. Just look around and see if it's just lived out of you automatically. That's all you got to do. Or see if you're having to try and make yourself. See if you're straining and struggling, trying to make yourself do it. Yeah. But just see if it's lived automatically, if you want to know. You want to know, just see if it comes automatically. Or do you have to strain? Do you have to strain? And pull? You have to? He said, then you're doing it.
But don't try to do it.
Yeah. Because you ain't going to do it anyway. Remember he said in Christ the mystery of God revealed, it's a life you don't live yourself. You can't. It's impossible. So there's no way of straining, pulling. And, well, Brother Steve, I thought we used to pull and draw and surrender our life. That's to give your life to Christ, not to try to live right. There's a crying out. There's that place Paul spoke of. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's that place of Christ being in you, and you're pressing for that higher mark. You see? All right? So, now let me read this doors and door. See, a sheep has wool. This was February 6, 1965, paragraph 204. A sheep has wool. And we all know what a sheep is, don't we? Let's just try to make it a little bit more real. We all know what a lamb is. Let's say a lamb. Okay, probably all of us have seen one at least, or seen one out in the field or something, or some going actually just down the road here, you know. All right. A sheep has wool. That's the only thing it has, and it can't manufacture that wool. It can't manufacture it. Now listen. And we're not asked to manufacture the fruits of the Spirit. God is not asking us to manufacture love, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. He's not asking us to manufacture that. Now listen. But to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And as long as it's a sheep, it'll bear it. As long as that lamb, sheep, is a lamb or sheep, whatever, whichever you want to call it, as long as it is, it's going to bear wool. Because it was built to do so. Yeah. Automatically. It doesn't have to get down on its knees and bend its legs a certain way. It doesn't have to rub its head on a board to make wool grow. It doesn't have to eat a certain food to make the wool grow. It doesn't have to have a master to even lead it to grow. Because it's just made to bear wool. Everything is inside of it to bear wool. Okay? Let's go on. It don't have to manufacture it. The glands and everything is in that sheep. Yeah. Everything's in that sheep to bear wool. Same way with a true believer. Everything's in that true believer to bear the fruits of the Spirit. You don't have to try to make sure you're doing it. No. You don't have to try to force yourself and tug yourself and make yourself be kind. You don't have to try to do things to have peace. No. You just have peace. You have joy. You're kind. You're gentle. You don't want to hurt people. No. Even though if they hurt you and try to destroy you, you still don't want to hurt them. It's just in you. Because it's the same Christ that hung on that cross on Calvary. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to pull, prod, push, strain. No. It's just there. Yeah. Automatically. It'll make wool because the inside of him has the glands and the drilling and stuff it takes to make wool. And when you're a Christian, now this is after you're born again, of course, we're talking about. That's what he's talking about here. And when you're a Christian, you'll cope with the Word. Yeah. I don't care what anybody else says. No, it don't make no difference. No. I've been called a lot of things. I've been spoke about a lot. I've been hated a lot. Don't make a difference what people do. I know what God has done for me. Yeah. You don't have to work up anything. No. I don't have to think about it and try to make sure I'm going to be kind to you when I walk out of here. No. I don't even think about it. Just kind. You know, it's like Brother Samba when he left out there and that ice was out there. And seeing he'd got that far and walked across the ice, I didn't have to think about, I need to go help him. No. It's just when I seen him on that ice, I need to go help him. He'd be there for him, help him, get him to the car. I didn't have to say, what should I do this? What should I do to be kind? What should I do to think of others more than myself? What am I going to have to do here? What do I need to think about here? And strain and pull and try to drain it in there. No. It's just there. Automatically. But some people have to think about it. They have to be told to. Now do you be kind. Now you do this. Now you do that. Look out. Falls in the wrong category. What if somebody would have had to come along and when Jesus was hanging on that cross and he was looking down and somebody would have had to come along and knock on the cross, Jesus? Maybe one of his disciples say, don't forget now to say, forgive those, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. Don't forget, Lord Jesus. No. It was just there. And that same spirit that is in Christ, it was in Christ, is in the believer. Not the make-believer. Not the unbeliever. The believer. Yeah. Now this will get a little tighter than you think. It may just seem like it's a bunch of garble right now. But I'm going to tell you, we're talking about a real believer that streets of gold are prepared for. Yeah. That's a special people. That's a special people that walk this earth. That people seen something special in them. A life they couldn't live themselves. Yeah. It's like one time I've told you before. I could tell you many experiences by the grace of God, not by my works, not by what I could do. But one time I had a lady just chew me out something terrible. Not even something I did, not something happened. She was misled. Okay. And of course, the other men that was working that time, one of the men now is actually a couple of them has passed away now and dead. But when that lady got done, of course I handled it with kindness and gentleness. I didn't have to strain. I wasn't sitting there sweating and thinking, oh, boy, I just got to try to control myself. Ma'am, if you'd understand this. No, it wasn't. I didn't have to try to do anything. It just came automatically. After the situation was done, the lady walked out and then man said, boy, you handled that like a trooper. How did you do that? They don't understand. They can't figure things out like that. But what if I'd had to try to strain and pull and tug to bring that situation and begin to show a little bit of expression, you know, even just a little bit of maybe the wrong look on my face? It would have never come out pleasing to God. But because it was automatically there, it was handled by the Holy Spirit. You see? And that's what we better start seeing in all of our lives, is the situations in our life handled by the Holy Spirit instead of us trying to handle it ourselves. Because as long as we try to handle it ourselves, it's going to be a mess. You know? Terrible. I don't care what circumstances come up. It may be you're dealing with your son, your daughter, your mother, dad, wife, husband, whatever it may be. It's going to show up, friends. Yeah. Remember, everybody passing by has to see the same spirit that was in Christ in you. And how's that going to happen? Circumstances and trials and tests has got to happen. Bad things has got to happen. Troubles has got to come up. Hatred's got to come against you. People's got to say things, falsely accuse you. Do all manner of evil against you to get this to all show up. But a lot of people today, that so-called believers, they get so upset when somebody treats them bad. They've had the prime opportunity for Christ to be expressed, and they ended up, all they got out of the trouble and the trial that happened is, I'm aggravated. Oh, I can't stand that person. I would love to get back to them. And then they get satisfied of going to their little bed at night and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I probably shouldn't have handled that like that. 2 weeks later, they do the same thing over again. The unbeliever and make-believer are just plain not born again. The true believer has the capacity. The capacity to understand these circumstances in life and handle them according to the Word of God by desire. You see? Okay? He says, when you're a Christian, you'll cope with the Word. I don't care what anybody else says. You don't have to work up nothing. You don't have to work up nothing. And bring down nothing or pull anything or pump up anything. You're a Christian. Yeah. You just automatically bear the fruit of the Spirit. See, that's the way it is. The true believer. It's just the way it is. See? It's just the way it is. It's so simple. Yeah. Where do we find ourselves in what I've said so far? Are we able to find ourselves as a true believer? Are we like the rest of the church world today, message people? They don't have a clue what this word is saying. Not a clue. The overcoming isn't there. They have their little tantrums. They're always getting upset. Never showing Christ. The only time they can show what people call Christ is if everything's smooth. Everything's going just so-so, and they're making plenty of money. Nothing's going wrong with the home. The children's been good. The wife's been nice to me. The husband's been good to me. And everything's really nice. Now I'm a Christian. That's not a Christian. No. Not at all. You're not a Christian until you've been tried by fire and see the Christ is in there. Yeah. And the Christian will stand the test. Could you imagine people today, as we said here a few weeks ago? Could you imagine people today with the tests and trials that sometimes so take us down under, and we'd have to be the ones that had to go to the stake and be burnt, as was in the days of the martyrs? Huh? Or you had to be strapped down on a bed and could not move, and your head strapped in position, and a drop of water constantly dropping on your forehead, and eventually would drop. Dream people to where they go to insanity. Just that drop constantly and not moving. Just drop. You wouldn't think anything like I'd ever do, but it drove people to satan. They were so complete insane after that water dropping on their forehead constantly. How'd you like to be put on a bed of nails and pressed? And many of the things these martyrs went through. Pregnant women put out in an arena with hungry lions. Hogs and slit their stomach open, pregnant, and pour corn and still lay there and declare in the name of Jesus and die with the joy on their face. Yes, praising God while they died. Could you imagine some of us going through that? We can't even take somebody talking about us without getting upset. I don't think some's got very much Christianity. They've got a hope. They've got a what they call self-made trust. But it's not a Christianity. It's not a Christ living out. But we're given these opportunities to test and check ourselves. See where we're at. See where we're going to stand. You see? I hope I'm getting right down in there. Right down on the inside. Who's just listening at home? I hope we're getting right down on the inside. And you're listening. You see? All right? You just automatically bear the fruit of the Spirit. See? See, that's the way it is. All right? What time is it going to be? I've been almost half hour. If I go into this one, I'll be probably another 15, 20 minutes at least. So we'll stop right there. Amen. Again, I love the word. It's so precious. Amen. What would it be, saints, if we didn't have the opportunity to come here? If the sister wants to come to instrument, we appreciate it. What would it be if we come here and we had nothing to measure ourselves up by? But does not the scripture teach us to measure ourselves up by the word of God? Does it not? Absolutely. So, Brother Steve, you're throwing a lot of things in there along with this. It ain't the word. It isn't. Show me where it ain't the word. Show me where it ain't. I'm just telling you these things by the revelation. That's how I'm speaking. You see? Now, if we wouldn't get up here by revelation to speak these things, I'd just probably just read it exactly what he says word before it and never say another word about it. But I'm speaking off the revelation that the word of God is given for. You see? And there's no loophole in it. There's no dirty spot in it. There's no place messed up in it. No. Now, the unbeliever or make-believer, they'll try to maybe make something out of it. Yeah. Because they don't have a clue to what the revelation of it is, these things that say. All right? But if it's a revelation, and what I'm speaking is speaking by revelation, then it'll stay in continuity all the way through. You see? But that's why I speak. I'm speaking tonight by revelation. All right? The things God has revealed to me in this word. And I'm sharing it with you, you see. Trusting it'll prepare you too for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is very soon. I truly am looking forward to it. Amen. And what an exciting time it will be. Amen. To be able to lay this life down and just think, come to that place of walking on streets of pure gold. Going up to a tree that'll change fruits 12 times a year. Oh my. Never have a dead branch on it, never have a dead leaf on it. Nothing but life. Nothing more dying. No. No more dying. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Oh, animals won't even kill each other. You know, quite a few years ago, we used to maybe watch a film or a CD, whatever you want to call it, of maybe the wildlife in Africa or something like that, you know, and what they call it when they move to a different place, can't remember what it's called, for the seasons. Migration, yeah, I was trying to get that word to come to me, couldn't get it to come to me. And, you know, and watch nature, how it does things like that. This is just me. But that was so disturbing to me. So disturbing. Seeing these animals trying to cross and other animals killing, destroying each other. This one killing that one, and this one fall, and the babies falling here and dying out in the desert, and this, that, and all this stuff going on. It disturbed me so bad. I can't stand to watch it. Because over there won't be none. None of it. There won't be no dying, no killing. No. None of it. It'll be life. That's the place I want to go to. No more growing old. No more feebleness. Let's think about my old dog, you know. She'll be 14 years old next month, and she's getting very feeble. It's getting hard for her to get up. She can't hardly get around. I tell her once, my old girl, one of these places we're going to next, you won't get old. No. Nope, you won't get old. You'll be able to get around fine. Yeah. But that's life here. Ever since Eve done what she did, death started there. Men begin to kill animals and eat them and kill and destroy. Killing each other, animals wise. It all started because of what Eve did. But oh my, I'm going to land, friends. There will be no more dying over there. No more killing. No. There'll be life. Hallelujah. That's what I'm looking forward to. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us all stand. Anybody got a little song you want to, chorus you want to sing? Amen. Ain't that the truth? What a day that will be. And I'm looking forward to it. I honestly am. Are you? Oh, if you know you're that true believer, you know it's there for you. And you're heading for it. Amen. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes, hallelujah, oh glory, me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Let's sing it again. Brother Gensel, come dismiss us. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day.
Appreciate you. We just give you all the